This whole story, the Shmuel HaZedi was telling Rabbi Avraham, the Malach, the son of the Mezritch Maggid. And he says, now you see where I learned to dance so good. That's why I learned to dance so good. Not because, Chas Shalom, I just want to know how to dance good. But through the dancing, I was able to help this yid. And so every Shabbos, after Kabbalah Shabbos, I dance. I dance to Hashem. And so the Malach said to the Shmuel HaZedi, he says, your dancing is even better than my davening. If so, if your dancing was to help a yid, and through your dancing it was so special that you were able to save a life of a Jew, your dancing is even better than my davening. And that is the end of the Maase from the Shmuel HaZedi. Okay, a long time ago, in the time of the Alter Rebbe, there was a man and an 11-year-old boy that came to the shul of the Alter Rebbe. The man asked the Gabbai, he would like to see the Alter Rebbe because his son cannot speak. He cannot say a word. Either he had the power to speak and he lost it, or he was born and could never speak. And the father had gone to every doctor that he could ever go to, and no doctor could help him. So now he comes to a tzaddik, to the Alter Rebbe. He was not a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, but he knew that the Alter Rebbe was a halik tzaddik. And he had done everything possible in the regular way to help his son, in the doctor way, in the hospital way, and no one could help his son. Now you have to go above the whole way, and you have to go straight to Hashem. What means straight to Hashem? How do you go straight to Hashem? Of course, you daven, you say Tehillim, and you give tzedakah, but you go to a tzaddik who's close to Hashem. And the koyach of the tzaddik, his tefillah, sometimes that's just the way to bring Hashem's bracha. Everything comes from Hashem. But a tzaddik is close to Hashem, and he wants to help people. They went into the Alter Rebbe, thinking, hopefully the Alter Rebbe will give a bracha, that the boy will be able to speak. But the Alter Rebbe did something else. The Alter Rebbe said, I am not going to be the one that is helping you. Go far away. There's a country called Ashkenaz. In the country called Ashkenaz, there's a city called Mitz. It's far, far away. And in the city of Meats, as soon as you go into the city, there's a big mountain. And next to the mountain, there's a house. And this house is owned by the woodman, the man who sells wood. He's the man who climbs up the mountain and chops down wood, and he sells it to people to make fires for heat for their homes, you know, to make warm in their house. They burn wood. For the stove, they burn wood in the stove, and to build things, whatever they need wood for. Wood is a very important thing. This is the woodman. You stay in his house. You ask him that you should be able to stay in his house until your son is able to speak. And the man asked the Alter Rebbe, what should I do in this city until we get helped? The Alter Rebbe said, just walk around, go to the marketplace, look around the city, and you just do that until you get helped. Of course, it's interesting now that the Alter Rebbe didn't tell him just to sit and learn in shul or something, but this is what the Alter Rebbe said. And so the man came out from the Alter Rebbe, and the Chassidim of the shul, they were curious to find out what the Alter Rebbe had said, if he gave a bracha for the boy. And the man said no. The Alter Rebbe just told him he has to go far away to this country of Ashkenaz, to this city of Meats, and to stay there for who knows how long until he gets helped. And he said, I don't know if I'm going to do it. You know, after all, it's far away. It'll cost a lot of money to travel there. It'll cost money to stay there. It'll cost money for my family while I'm away. So how can I do it? And the Hasidim, they didn't even wait for him to finish talking. They started collecting money to help him, that he should have enough money to go. And they told him, if the Alter Rebbe said, this is the way you're going to get help, it's 100% for sure that if you do what the Alter Rebbe said, your son will be able to talk. Isn't it worth it? And don't worry, we'll collect the money for you. They went around to everyone in the town, and everybody gave happily that the man should be able to help his son, and that the Alter Rebbe's bracha should come through. Chas v'shalom, to let money stop a bracha from coming through, especially for such an important thing for his child. And the man was so happy, and he travels now far, far away to the country of Ashkenaz, to the city of Mitz. And sure enough, when he gets there, days later, he sees there's a mountain, and there's a house, and there's a big yard full of wood, and there's the woodman selling wood over there to people. And it's a yid. And the man and his son go over, and they ask the woodman, can we please stay in your house? Of course, we'll pay you. And the woodman says, okay, I have room. You can stay in my house. They stayed in the house of the woodman, and every day they just walked around the city, walked around the streets, not really doing anything. And the woodman noticed how they're just walking around every day. And one day he asked them, he says, I mean, I don't want to be nosy, and if you don't want to tell me, you don't have to, but I'm just curious, why did you come to this city? Because you don't seem to be doing anything. Usually a person comes here, they come on business, they come to do something, to visit somebody. I just noticed that you're walking around the whole day in the streets. And they told the woodman, not they, I mean the boy couldn't talk, the man told the woodman the whole story from beginning to end about his son going to, and they went to the Alter Rebbe, what the Alter Rebbe said. And the woodman was very surprised. You mean, your Rebbe told you to come to me? I wonder why. I'm not a tzaddik. I'm nobody special. I don't know why the Alter Rebbe would tell you to come to me. All of a sudden, the woodman started to think, and he came up with an idea, and he smiled and he said, you know what? Maybe what the Alter Rebbe means is not me, but my chosen, my son-in-law, the man that married my daughter. I think that the Alter Rebbe sent you to me because he wants you to go to my son-in-law, my chosen. Now, why he didn't send you straight to my chosen, I also understand why. As you'll see. If you would go straight to him, I don't know if the whole thing would work out. But let me tell you about my son-in-law, the man that married my daughter. A very interesting story. One day, a few years ago, I was in the shul, and I happened to notice a bachur was learning. And I saw this bachur looked very poor. He was learning for hours. He didn't seem to be going anywhere to eat. He didn't seem to have any food. He was a stranger. So I asked the bachur, would you like to come to eat at my house? Oh, the bachur was so happy. And the bachur came to my house. I fed him. I gave him a good meal. He was very thankful. And whenever I would go to the shul, I would see this bachur learning. I would invite him, and he came with me. Until he became a regular guest in my house. And one day the bachur says, he says, you know, you're so nice to me, and I eat in your house, but I don't like to get things for free. I would like to do something for you to pay back for the food that I'm eating. So I have an idea. You probably could use a guard for your wood, couldn't you? And the woodman says, well, I tell you the truth, I could use it because sometimes at night, what? sometimes at night, people, they break into my yard and they steal wood. And if I had a guard in my yard, and people knew there was somebody there watching it, so they wouldn't steal the wood. And the boy says, I tell you what, build for me a little room in your yard. I'll stay there. By the day, I'll watch the wood, and by night, I'll be there. Anyway, many times I'm up late learning. And even if I would be sleeping, if I hear noise, I'll wake up and I'll go and see what's doing out there. And that way, it'll be good for you and it'll be good for me, because I'll feel like I'm helping you. And it'll be a good job. It will help you. And the woodman said, okay. And he built a little room in the yard for the boy, the young man. And the young man sat out in the yard by day. He learned. And at night, actually, the woodman didn't know exactly what the boy was doing out there, because he couldn't see in his little house. He figured either he's learning or he's sleeping or whatever, and that's it. And the woodman goes on with the story. He says, one night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I saw a light. And I looked out the window, and I saw a fire coming from my yard. And it looked like it was near that little house. And I thought to myself, oi, either the little house is burning down or my wood is burning down. But I didn't hear that the guard was screaming or saying anything or doing anything about the fire. So if he's in trouble, I better run out to save him. If he's not in trouble, if it's in the yard, I'm upset. Why doesn't he do something about the fire? And the woodman ran downstairs to go out to the yard. As soon as he got out to the yard, he saw the fire was gone. There was no fire burning at all. He checked around. There was no sign of a fire. No smoke, no fire, no smell, no nothing. Nothing was burned up. That's funny. There was a fire. What's going on? Well, maybe I had a dream. I don't know. He went back to sleep. A few nights later, again, he wakes up in the middle of the night. He sees a shining light. He looks out the window. Again, a big, gigantic fire. He wakes up his wife. There's a fire outside. There's a fire outside. And she says, go put it out. Go put it out. He runs downstairs. By the time he gets out to the yard, there's no fire. Again. He goes back and tells his wife, there's no fire. She says, hey, you're dreaming then. You have a dream. Go back to sleep. You dream about a fire, of course. You're worried about the wood, so you dream about a fire. Again, he went back to sleep. A few nights later, again, he wakes up in the middle of the night. And again, there's a big fire. But this time, he woke up his wife first, before he went running out of the house. And she looks out the window, and she also sees the fire. And she screams, let's put it out, there's a big fire. And they both go running downstairs to go out to the yard, and they both go out in the yard, and they both see the fire is gone. There's no fire. And he says, look, I told you there was fires, it wasn't dreams. And she said, it looked like it came over the house of the boy who lives out in that little house. It looked like the fire was coming out of his house. But his house is not burning up. What do you think that could be? And the woodman told his wife, maybe this is not a regular boy. Maybe this is some kind of a tzaddik or something. There's stories about tzaddikim. One of them, his name was Yenison ben Uziel. When he would learn, a fire would come out from over him and go up, shoot up in the sky. Because his learning was so halik, fire came out. They decided they're not going to say a word about it, but they're going to think about this bachur as being not a regular boy, but they think he's a tzaddik. Maybe he's a hidden tzaddik. A few days later, the woodman called the boy. Again, he did not say anything that he knew about the fire. But he asked the young man, he says, would you like to have a chasana? Would you like to get married? Because my daughter is old enough to be a kalamadel, and I think you're a very nice boy. So I would like to make a shidduch between you and my daughter. Would you like to do that? And the boy said, on one condition, I would like to do that. I'm going to ask you to do something and not to do something. If you agree to this, then I will marry your daughter. But if not, I will not marry your daughter. And the woodman asked the boy, what is the condition? And the boy said, I would like you to build a house for us to live in at the end of the city. The very end of the city near the forest. And I will ask you and your wife never to come visit us. We will come to visit you. Your daughter and I, if we get married, will come to visit you in your house. But you and your wife will never, ever come to visit us in our house. Now, if you agree to this, then I will marry your daughter with Hashem's help. But if not, I can't. And the woodman said to the boy, okay, I agree. I'll build you the house. Please, you and your Kala, my daughter, will come to visit us, but we'll never come to visit you. And sure enough, they made the chasana, and he built the house by the end of the city, end of the town, by the forest, and he and his wife never ever went to visit the chasana and the Kala, but the chasana and the Kala came to visit the woodman and his wife and his family. And every time, the woodman would ask his daughter, are you happy? And she said, I'm very happy. My chasan is a wonderful man. I'm very, very happy. And the woodman and his wife knew that this is a special man, a special chasan for their daughter. And they never asked questions. They see he didn't want to be bothered. And now the woodman told the man who had the 11-year-old boy who couldn't speak, the Alter Rebbe sent you here. I think that he had in mind you should go to my chasan. So why don't you go to his house and ask him to give a bracha to your son. And so the man with the 11-year-old boy they went to the edge of the city. They found the house where the chasan and the kala lived. They went in there. And the man was sitting, the chasan was sitting in his house learning Torah. The man and his son knocked on the door. The man came to the door, the chasan came to the door. And right away, the man with the 11-year-old boy, he said, the Alter Rebbe sent me to come to this town. My son cannot speak. We've been here, and we have to stay here till my son can speak. We found out that maybe you could help us. Can you please help us? And the chasan, he said to the man, How did you find me? Who sent you here? The Alter Rebbe sent you here? He says, tell the Alter Rebbe that I'm going to find a place to live that no one will ever find me. Not even he will be able to find me. But as long as you're here, I will give a bracha to your son. He gave a bracha to the boy. Immediately, the boy started to speak. Immediately. As soon as he gave the bracha, the boy started to speak. But then he tells his wife, we're packing up our suitcases and we're moving. They packed up their suitcases, they went on the wagon, and they moved away. Now, this is the end of the maisa. What's the thing about the maisa? One thing about the maisa, besides the koyach of tzaddikim, is there are tzaddikim nistorim, hidden tzaddikim. People don't know they're tzaddikim. And they have big, big halakha koiches. But they don't want to be known. They don't want anybody to find out about them. And at every time, even right now, on this day, there are 36 tzaddikim that nobody knows who they are. Okay, there was a chassid of the Mittler Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek, Reb Hillel Paracher. Reb Hillel from the town of Parich. One of the things he did was going around and he was collecting money for different stukas. And he was a meshulach, he went different places and he collected money for tztukah to help poor people, to help yeshivas, to send to Eretz Yisrael for poor people there. He collected it, not for himself, but for poor Yidden. Now, Reb Hillel was such a great chassid and such a big tzaddik, and people knew about him, and such a big Talmud Chachim, that as soon as he came to a town, he did not go around by himself, door to door, from house to house, into the stores. The people that knew Reb Hillel, they saw him coming. They said, Reb Hillel, you sit in the shul, you could learn and daven and do whatever you want. We're going to go around for you to all the people of the town. We'll collect the money, we'll bring it to you. And we know how every minute by you is so precious to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. So you sit in the shul and we'll do all the work for you. By the way, by a big tzaddik in Allah, other people want to do things for the tzaddik. Sometimes he doesn't have to do things himself. Other people do it for him. Reb Hillel sat in the shul, and these two men went around to every house, knocking on the door. Reb Hillel is here. Please give money for tzedakah for Reb Hillel. They went around to all the stores in the town. And there was one store that was owned by a Yid, but unfortunately, it was open on Shabbos. This Yid did not keep Shabbos. But they knew that if they would go in and ask for money for tzedakah, he'll give tzedakah. Tzedakah he gave, but Shabbos he was open. They went into the store, and the Yid gave them 10 rubles, like $10, for tzedakah for Reb Hillel. They went back to the shul now with a big pile of money. They gave it to Reb Hillel. Reb Hillel, before he put the money away, he started to count it. And as he was counting it, all of a sudden, he came to this 10-ruble bill, and without saying a word, he put it to the side. And they recognized this was exactly the 10 rubles that they had collected from the man who kept his store open on Shabbos. And Reb Hillel put the money away, and he thanked the men for going around for him, and he left the 10 rubles on the table, and he left. The two men thought to themselves, why did he just put that by the side? They figured he must be such a halakhic person, he has Ruach HaKodesh, he feels that this money was earned not in the proper way, because this man, if he opens his store on Shabbos, he makes money on Shabbos. Money that's earned on Shabbos is not money that goes for a bracha. And Reb Hillel did not want to accept it because it was earned in a wrong way. He didn't want the money to come in that way, to get money that's earned on Shabbos or in the not proper way. He put it by the side. So the two men said, what should we do? To take the money for ourselves, of course we can't. It's stuck us, it's for charity. To go back, to give it back to the man in the store, it's not going to be nice to say, here's the money back. They didn't know what to do with it, so they said, you know what, we'll put it away in the shul, we'll put it up in a cupboard somewhere, and we'll figure out what to do another time. So they put the money away in the shul in a certain cupboard. And they forgot about the money. A year later, Reb Hillel came back to the same town, and the same two men offered to go around and collect again for Reb Hillel. He sat in the shul, learning and davening and doing whatever he wanted to do. The two men went around, and this time they did not go to the store of the man that was open on Shabbos, because they knew Reb Hillel had not accepted the 10 rubles. They came back to the shul, and as they're about to go to Reb Hillel to give him the money, they remembered the 10 rubles they put away in the cupboard the year before. And one of the men got an idea. He climbed up, he took out the 10 rubles, it was still there, and he took out of his pocket 2 5-ruble notes, like 2 5s, and he put 1 5 in one part of the pile, another 5 in a different part of the pile, and the 10 rubles he put in his own pocket. So in other words, he just changed it over, and he put the same amount of money in 2 places, and that's it. And now they go and give the whole pile of money they collected this year to Reb Hillel. He counts it, and as he's counting it, all of a sudden, he takes out a 5-ruble bill, and he puts it to the side. He counts more, all of a sudden, he pulls out another 5, and he puts it to the side, and he took the money left, and the 2 fives were on the table. In other words, Reb Hillel had such a koyach that he knew where things are coming from. And he did not want to accept certain things. If it comes in the right way, it's for a blessing, it's for a bracha. If it chas v'shalom comes in a not right way, he doesn't want to accept it. And the same thing is over here by Avram. Hashem said to Avram, "Va'avarechacha, I'm going to bench you, and I'm going to make you rich. But to accept the money from the king of Stein, this is not the way Avram wanted to get rich. He wanted to be from Hashem in a different way." Okay.